You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Two events for myself, Dave Kellner, and Dave Tindall to preview this week on the podcast, the WGC HSBC Champions over in China and the Sanderson Farms Championship in Mississippi this week. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting next to me here in the studio, ready to dissect these two tournaments, Dave Tindall.
Hello. I just again, I enjoyed your seven-letter hand tribute this time, WGC HSBC.
Yeah, there's enough time in this podcast to trip over that more than once.
Yes.
We've got to talk about last week, first of all, though, before we get stuck into these two events. Mike, unfortunately, can't be with us on the podcast this week. Hopefully, he'll be back next week for the start of the final tour series in Europe. Or it is in Europe next week, isn't it? Turkey.
Turkey, and then two. Well, then China, then Dubai, isn't it?
Yeah. South Africa in between?
Oh, I've got that wrong. It's definitely Turkey. Yeah. It definitely ends in Dubai.
Turkey, Dubai, and South Africa in between, I think. Because they extended the Nedbank Golf Challenge, didn't they, to 60 players now. So that used to be a 12-player, then a 30-player event.
That's
and I
right,
think
yes.
now they've got 60 there, I think.
Yeah, last thing,
that
last
sounds right.
Season or two, they've built it up. But yes, so last week it was kind of guys losing their tour cards and stuff. Some in terrible circumstances. Eddie Pepperell, did you see that?
Yeah, he collapsed, didn't he, on Friday to miss the cut.
Yeah, one of the hard luck stories.
Graham Storm. I think just missed out as well, did he? On keeping his card. So it is a few players. Obviously, it's that point of the year, Dave, where you've got some players jumping into that top 110 and some just missing out. And that's just the dynamic of the European Tour.
It is, yes. They kind of know it's there. The rules are there in front of them all years. But some seem to save it to the last minute. It reminds me of revising for exams.
Padraig Harrington won the event in Portugal last week on the European Tour.
He did.
I tipped him the week before, admittedly, in a more suitable tournament in the Alfred, or a couple of weeks before, in the Alfred Dunhill Links. But his short game was incredible. That's how it happened. He actually tweeted. He actually made it easier for me to. I didn't have to put in as much work because he tweeted his stats for the week out. I don't know if you saw these, but 96% scrambling for the week, 25 chances to get up and down. He took 51 shots in those 25 chances, had two chip-ins, hold a bunker shot, and then he tweeted later on some more stats, 15 wedge shots from the fairway throughout the week. He got 66% of them down in two, so 10 of 15 with his wedges, 11 and 22 with all wedges up and down. And a normal week is around 20%, apparently. So it was just short game, basically.
And he won by one.
Yeah. He scrambled brilliantly, putted fantastically well, and his wedge game was on song. So that's how he posted such a low number and held on from Andy Sullivan.
Well, from being someone who you thought would never, ever win again, he's now won the Honda Classic on the PGA Tour, now in Europe. And you think, well, maybe he's got more in him. Maybe you just back him at daft prices every week.
Possibly so. On the PGA Tour, Justin Thomas defended the CIMB Classic.
Yeah, I was quite close to picking him, but his price was quite prohibitive, wasn't it?
He was around about 14-1, wasn't he, here with Hills. Impressive final round from a player that he'll have his eye on big events now, won't he? WGC events and major championships.
And he had a big wobble, didn't he, in round three? Really terrible wobble at the start of his round. And then I think, did he birdie the last five holes on Saturday in the great final round? That event now, it seems to be one way you'd...
Horses for courses.
Yeah, Ryan Moore won it back-to-back now. He's won it back-to-back.
Yeah, incredibly impressive performance. And he's in the field for the HSBC Champions event. And Rory McIlroy's in the field as well. He's the favourite here with William Hill at 9-2 to win it. Dustin Johnson is 5-1. Henrik Stenson and Hideki Matsuyama are both 20-1. Paul Casey, 22s. Adam Scott is 25-1. Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed, both 28s. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. Our first WGC event of the new season. and it's a return to Sheshan, a golf club in Shanghai, China, for this year's renewal. The event has held WGC status since 2009 and has been hosted by Sheshan every single year, apart from 2012, when Ian Poulter went on to win at Mission Hills. The golf course, a par 72 measuring 7,261 yards, traditional quota of par 3s, 4s and 5s, and scoring has generally been low in the event. Russell Knox, Dustin Johnson and Martin Keimer all cracked 20 under par in their winning years. The one exception came in 2014 when Bubba Watson won with a total of 11 under par in very different conditions. And I suppose, Dave, the question is whether you treat that year as an outlier or whether you think players are going to experience similar conditions this week to those in 2014.
Yeah, at the time of recording this, I've not seen much about players' comments of you.
Well, I've heard the weather's pretty poor, and I heard it's been poor in the lead-up.
Yeah, they've had a lot of rain, and I did look at the forecast, and it is meant to be rain on all 4 days, but does that then make it easier, just target golf?
Well, I think that it makes...
Or rough thicker?
Yeah, it makes the rough a little bit thicker, or it did in 2014, and the one overriding theme from that championship when Bubba Watson won was the wind was up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be windy again this week.
Couple of days look gusty, yeah. The other thing with that, Bubba won it with minus 11 and was minus 14 on the par fives.
Yeah.
So that might alter your thinking this week a little bit, whether it was just sort of something freaky that Bubba did or whether, you know, the long holes are the key.
Just to pick up on something that you mentioned in your Roto World piece that I've got noted down here, Dave, it was a quote from the European Tour website. The course suffered the hottest summer in 130 years with temperatures exceeding 40 degrees for over a month. We have now had 5 inches of rain in the last 48 hours. Both issues have clearly impacted course preparation.
Oh.
But it doesn't actually tell you how, does
no.
it?
Are they kind of sort of protecting themselves if the players start moaning that, oh, look at the greens, they're terrible or something? I don't know.
Possibly so. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I don't expect scoring to be as low as it has traditionally been in the event.
Yeah. If I had to make a wild guess now, I'd say it's between Bubba's and the 20s or something like minus 16 maybe. Yeah.
I've got a couple of picks for the event.
Yeah, me too.
Have you got any type of player that you think suited by this golf course?
Good players.
Yeah, okay.
not really, because my two are quite different, really.
Yeah.
I think you can... I mean, you look at it, that just to prove it, that year Bubba won. Well, Tim Clark nearly won, so that's the, you know, your classic big hitter, little fella combinations, contrast thing. So, yeah, I'm not convinced there's a type of you.
No, I'm not.
There tend to be classier players who win. But
I am putting a little bit more stock in the 2014 leaderboard than I would have usually, given the conditions in the lead up to the event. And we have seen, I know Bubba Watson did win and Dustin Johnson's won here as well, but I think it's the sort of golf course where if your game's on song and you're finding fairways and greens, and this is something that has been commented on by some of the top players. Matt Fitzpatrick actually did a Q&A on Twitter a couple of evenings ago, and he was asked about golf courses and his favourite golf courses, and he actually mentioned Sheshan as a golf course that suits his game because you've got to find fairways and you've got to find a lot of greens. So that was kind of insightful. I know that all these golf
courses... Do you have to find fairways?
Yeah, I don't know. In a traditional year here, I don't think you would have to. But maybe if the rough is up a little bit and it is a little bit more juicy, given the weather conditions they've had, possibly it'll be advantageous to find a lot of fairways this week.
I think about 85% of golfers' comments are you've got to hit the fairway, and then about 90% of the time that is totally irrelevant or pretty irrelevant.
I agree. I agree with you in the main. I do. But anyway, it's interesting to see Matthew Fitzpatrick and hear his comments about the golf course.
It is, because immediately I would have thought he would like something like a short par 70 with lots of, you know, more twists and turns in it, but. He did play well there last year.
Yeah, he did. I've got a couple of picks. You've got a couple of picks.
Yeah.
So
I've got a couple of picks, and I've got one in a sort of side market.
Okay, you lead off then.
I'll go then with my first pick, a main pick, at 50-1. And let's presume it is still there. I'm looking. It is there. Thomas Peters.
Yes.
I think he'll muller this course. I think, you know, if you're going for the big hitter angle, he's your man. He can destroy these par fives. I think the only doubt I've got with him, I really like his price. I think on all evidence we've seen, this was the guy who scored more points than anyone in the Ryder Cup, even more than any American. He was the event's top scorer with 4 out of 5. I think it might have just had to come down to earth from that, but I think he has now. Look at his performances since. He was 50th in the Dunhill. Well, that was right after it, so you could forgive that. 31st in Portugal. Looks a bit shabby, but again, I think he was just sort of getting back into the swing of things. He ended that event with a 65, so yep. I think that's kind of the slingshot into this week. And he played well here last year. Tied 23rd last year on his first look at the course. Shot 4 rounds under par. I think he's ready to. And I just think the kind of regathering of lots of the big names will really get his juices flowing, and we'll see that. I think.
Does anything get his juices flowing?
Well, in his very own understated, quiet way, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think you could easily come back here in a year's time and he won't be anywhere near 50-1.
Oh, I agree. Event. Yeah, well, when you think that last week he went off, I know it was a much, much weaker field.
Yeah.
But he went off 8-1 for the event. And he's
short, was he? I thought it was shorter.
Yeah, he was
actually,
a little bit shorter, mm-hmm. I think, by game time. So you're getting like 7 times the price he was last week if you think he was 7-1-ish.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. He was close for me.
Yeah. Shall I? He is my side market. I may as well keep going with him because I like him for first round leader as well.
Right.
If you get those
prices
up.
Yeah, we'll get those prices up.
I was just looking back. Firstly, I think just because he's going to have, you know, he's going to real sort of heightened senses again. Here he is back in the big time. I think you'll see it come out straight away. But if you look back in his last 10 starts, worldwide starts, he was the leader after round one in the Made in Denmark with a 62. He was second after day one in the Czech Masters.
50-1, by the way, same price.
Oh, that's good, yeah. He was fourth after round one in the Olympics, and he was fourth after round one in the Open de France. So his last 10 starts on tour, he's had a win, a second, and 2 places in the round one leader market.
Nice.
He was also 9th after round one here last year. So I think there's a lot of evidence to think he might fly out of the traps. You go back through his record beyond those last 10 I've said, and there's lots of evidence of him starting fast. So I just think he's someone who can just click into it straight away.
Do you like to play the first round leader market each way as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because you get muddly ties, don't you?
It's
you're more likely to get ties, aren't you, in the round one market?
Yeah. That sometimes puts people off, though, because they'd rather just back in a win only in that first round leader market, because if they do finish like tied fourth, they can be, you're chopping your steak.
Yeah, well, I think that's just the risk you take. I think it's, I like it as a market. I've always wondered if I, that's the only market I ever played, if I transferred all my money on the outrights to first round, I honestly think I'd be better off.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. First round leader market then, Thomas Peters, and for the outright as well, both 50-1 here with William Hill. I'm going for a European as well. Actually, both my picks are Europeans this week.
Me too.
Francesco Molinari pick at 50-1 as well. He was winner of this event, of course, in Shershan in 2010 and finished 10th here in 2009 as well. And, of course, he comes into this championship on the back of that superb performance at the Italian Open a month ago now, where he closed 64-65 to take the title. He'll have had the requisite time to reflect on that performance. And the only negative I can see is that there might be some ring rust coming into this championship, given it has been a month since he's played. So hopefully he can shake that off quickly. But I am hoping, I think, that conditions are expected to test the players a little bit more than usual, because Molinari can maybe grind them down with relentless fairways and greens. And he's shown in the past that he can put these greens well as well. So that's another positive. And his win in this event in 2010 isn't the only form he's shown in the Far East. He was runner-up in the Hong Kong Open back in 2008 and won the 2009 World Cup with his brother in Shenzhen in China. So he should have good vibes, hopefully, returning to this event.
Yes.
And I like the price, 50-1 each way, so I'll take Francesco Molinari.
It was close for me. I think the only thing that put me off is, and I don't know whether I'm going too much on recent evidence, but you know when players win their home Open, I think maybe that's such a kind of like earth-shattering thing to do.
Yeah.
That they might just sort of dip afterwards. We saw it with Yu Slouten, and he's played rubbish since he won the KLM.
Yeah.
Even Rory, when when he won the Irish, you would have thought, now look, watch him go. But it didn't quite happen for a while.
No, it's interesting.
But we'll see. But yeah, as you said, he has had a gap of it. If this was the week after, I'd be, don't know about that. But
I think that's a positive. I think the time off's probably a positive.
Yeah.
Because, like you mentioned,
he's just being sort of carried around the streets of Italy, pumping his fits. Forza Italy.
I'm just hoping he hasn't celebrated too much.
Yeah.
And he's ready to go this week. I do like his price at 50-1, Francesco Molinari. So hopefully he'll go well. I suppose if you are looking away from the two market leaders, you're getting some. Getting some attractive prices, yeah. Aren't you, this week?
Yeah, if you say Stenson at 20s, yeah. You know, as the third favourite. Yeah, do you like the favourites, or do you think they looked very short?
I'm not sure. Rory McIlroy's got, he's practising with new clubs, so yeah. That's a vagary that you've got to assess. And Dustin Johnson, will he be bothered this week? That's the question you've got with Johnson. I just wonder whether, because they've both had time off since the Ryder Cup, whether they'll be fit and firing, ready to go here, at these prices, of course. And McIlroy, club change, Dustin Johnson, who knows whether he'll be into it this week. I'd side with Dustin Johnson over the two.
I would probably side with Rory with the two, because I think he's got a bit more. I don't know what Dustin Johnson's incentive is, really, but apart from just to win loads of money. But
he just loves smashing it off the tee, doesn't he, Dustin Johnson? Yeah. He did win it. Did win here.
Yeah, maybe
a couple,
not,
a few years ago.
Not the type who needs any sort of real reason. He just sort of hits a ball. Rory McIlroy, he's third in the race to Dubai, and he's kind of quite a way behind. So I think for him, he'll be thinking, well, I came with a bit of a rattle to win the FedEx Cup. Why not do it here as well?
Yep.
So that, I think that might pull him into, or drag him towards something big. But I can't say I'm particularly close to backing either.
No, I'm not either. Who's your second pick then?
So my second pick is probably one of the most improved golfers of the year, I think. Certainly in terms of world rankings, or certainly in terms of everything, to be honest. He's gone up 80 spots this year, 111th last year at this time, now 31st. Rafa Cabrera Bayo.
Yeah.
50 to 1.
Yeah, he is 50 to 1.
There he is. One little thing. I mean, he's playing well everywhere. You just go through his results. It's full of top fives and tens. It's just, you know, there's been no drop-off. You would have thought, maybe did he have that little run early on and then he's dropped off? Well, he hasn't. Fifth in the Olympics, fifth in the Wyndham, 12th in Italy. And then he went to the, whatever we call it, Simb.
Yeah.
Do the gestures. The Simb Classic last week. And he was 10th, as well as another good top 10. Obviously, he's in Asia and he's, you know, got a bit more acclimatised. I think that might help him a little bit. It is his first go at the course, but, you know, tell me where he isn't playing well at the moment. He's playing well everywhere. I just think it's not a particularly bizarre course that he won't take to it like all the
others.
And
he's got some form in the Far East, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got a couple of top tens in China before. Got great greens and reg figures. I just think 50-1 is a really good price on someone who keeps playing well and often in the big events as well.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he hit loads of greens last week in Malaysia. He was, I've got him noted down here, he was just out
just
of
missed,
the, just
yeah.
missed the cut for me at 50-1.
Well, I hope not, yeah.
there isn't one this week. We're happy with that limited field. Russell Knox is my second pick, 40-1. I still think he's being slightly underrated by the odds compilers, given that he is the defending champion this week and comes into this on the back of a charmed run, really. I couldn't quite convert when banging contention at the Simb Classic last week, but we'll have good feelings coming back to the scene of his first win. He's won the Travelers subsequently, and he can cope if the wind does blow this week. He was beaten in a playoff when Russell Henley won the Honda Classic in tough conditions. I think that was back in 2014. Since then, he's become a proven performer, and I think Fortis is still slightly underestimating his chance, so Russell Knox is my second pick at 40-1. I'm hoping it's going to suit the slow and steady plotters this week.
Yes. With him, I'm just thinking, I mean, you're good, but are you that good to win it again? I don't know. It's a weird sort of chain of thought. And then you think, well, he can't win it again. He's had his go.
I think you've got to, you mentioned this a few times on the podcast, with a few of these players, you've got to recalculate your thinking, haven't you? With Russell Knox, is he just enjoying a 12-month purple patch, or is he as good as he's shown in the last 6 months, I suppose?
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. I just think of all the great players who've played here, no one's ever defended it.
Yeah.
So why would he?
That's okay.
Be the one. But 40s, you know, not like we're talking about him at 12s, is he? He's 40s. So.
He's got a good chance of getting in the money, I think, as well. Quarter the odds, first five. So you've got, I mean, you're getting that 10-1 shot of place, aren't you? If you look at it that way as well. So I'm going with Russell Knox as my second pick. We've talked about the market leaders. Who came closest away from Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson?
Well, another course winner, Martin Kaymer, was quite close for me. He won it in 2011 with that brilliant final round, and he was played well numerous times at this course. And he is a horses for courses type. Mm. Seen him winning Abu Dhabi loads. Should have won again, didn't he, the other year when he was like 9 ahead. How did that happen? That was strange, wasn't it?
That was the that was the weirdest thing that's happened in ever. The game in a decade, I think.
And then recent form, he's had 3 top sixes and a 20th in his last 40. I don't know whether it's just a sign that he's not quite there or whether it's just due one, I don't know. But I think 33s is an each-way price on a player who, you know, can win big events. He's won at Sawgrass, he's won 2 majors, you know, he's won this, so he is a player who does win the big events.
A couple I want to mention, Brooks Koepka, who came close for me at 35-1, played great at the Ryder Cup, dialed in with his irons. I think he can overpower a golf course of this nature if it does go to a big hitter this year. I think 35-1 is fine. Siwoo Kim, who I mentioned most weeks, is in the field. He's 66-1, first time playing the event, but continues to impress with very solid golf. A win at the Wyndham, seriously impressive, and not being outside the top 20 in his last 4 starts, Siwoo Kim. And at a big price, I have had a few quid on Hao Tong Li at 250-1.
Didn't I put him up in this last year or something silly? And
he finished 7th, didn't he? And you might have put him up. I think you know what?
Week.
I think it was no, it wasn't this week. Or was it this week? It might have been this event last year. You'd have to check your notes. I think it could have been this event last year.
I poured
scorn on it.
But that was 100. I think
it was 100-1. Yeah, I think he was 100-1. I've had a few quid. He finished 7th last year in this, and 250-1. He's not been playing terrible golf recently. Not played for a while. But he's a massive outsider that I quite like the look of.
Yeah, a couple of others. Scott Hend, 80-1. You know, he's been playing really well. Played well last week on a course that he's not played well. Last week as well, he had food poisoning at the start of the week, so he wasn't right for a while.
Okay.
He said he was, you know, really didn't feel much strength in him. Shot 74 in round one, finished like a train, so he's 80-1. A couple of other ones that I looked at, Bernd Wiesberger's just playing great, isn't he, at the minute? 4 straight top tens, played quite well here last year.
But is he one of those? Where do you lie with that? Do you think... Oh, he's had his chances now. He's had 4 straight top tens. He needed to win one of those.
Two of them.
Or he's going to just keep churning out impressive
results.
Two
of them were second places, so you know he's not. They weren't just like 4 tied ninths.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Maybe he doesn't win that often, but he's 45-1. It's an each way price.
Yeah.
Who was the other one I was looking at? Alexander Levy. He's played really well of late.
He's got fantastic form in China, hasn't he?
Yeah. That was his scene of his first win, wasn't it, in China? And then he's, as you say, always seems to play well there. Seems to just like it when he goes there. And just the recent form. So combine that, 80-1.
Very good. Let's move on to the what's basically the runt of the litter this week, isn't it, in all honesty?
Wow.
The Sanderson Farms Championship is the PGA Tour event. And Chris Kirk is the 14-1 favourite. Patton Kizzire is 16-1. Ian Poulter, 25s. David Toms, Graham Dillette, Grayson Murray, Jerry Kelly, Lucas Glover, and Russell Henley all 33-1, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. I didn't mean that as disparagingly as it sounded,
well,
by the way,
when
I said it was the runt of the litter. It's the weaker of the two events this week, unquestionably.
It's the third Gallagher brother. That would work better if there were 3 events, but anyway.
And the host course is the Country Club of Jackson, and it's hosting for the third consecutive year. And this event has been an official PGA Tour event since 1994 in various different guises. The golf course measures 7,421 yards, and it's a par 72. Nick Taylor and Peter Malnati are the two winners around this track since it moved to this slot in the schedule in November, or it moved to the November slot. It's played in late October this year. Malnati rode a hot putter to success last year, but also found plenty of greens in regulation, While Nick Taylor's recipe for success was very similar, he ranked tied third in greens in regulation and was seventh in strokes gained putting. I've seen this described as a traditional golf course, and a golf course where you don't just pick driver up and smash it. You've got to be kind of cute on some of these holes.
Yeah, David Toms has come second and ninth there. I was sort of vaguely close to putting him in, but he's quite... Well, is he fourth favourite, 33? He's 49, so he's in that sort of just between ending his PGA Tour career, maybe having a go at the Champions Tour. So he'd probably be trying to keep the engine ticking over.
Yeah.
Does play well. He played this course as a junior, so he's got lots of history there. So he's a kind of wily veteran who might plot his way around to a good one. Nice weather as well this week. If you look at the finishers, a lot of them are kind of those with southern connections.
I did notice that, actually, yeah.
And Tom's, you know, I think most of his wins used to come... What's that? Is it? There's a line, isn't there? Something like Mason-Dixon line or something. Right. That sort of is seen as the cut-off, and anything south of that is the south.
Right.
And it's all, instead of saying quiet, please, hush, y'all. They actually have hold-up signs saying that.
Really?
In some of the southern events, yeah. So Tom's has always played well in his native south. He's from Louisiana, isn't he? So, yeah, that was one angle in.
I was with you there. We've got a lot of winners in the South, really, in this event. I've actually got two picks here. Have you got any selections?
Not really, no. Okay. I couldn't quite pull the trigger. Does from the South include being from South Korea? Because that could be one of yours.
That could be one of mine, and it will be one of mine. Wee Kim is my first selection, or Mean Wee Kim, as he is on the William Hill website, 40-1. Which I think is fair. I like the fact that actually he
has
played...
Has he got a brother generous week?
I like the fact he played really well on a traditional technical golf course at Harbortown earlier in the year to finish tied sixth. That wasn't his only success on the PGA Tour either. He finished in a tie for third at the John Deere. That result coming towards the back end of last season. 13th in the Safeway Open behind Brendan Steele, and had a couple of results before that in the... web.com tour. So basically, current form good, played well on a technical traditional golf course on the PGA Tour this season, weak event, 40-1. Yep. Mean Wee Kim.
Yeah, jolly good.
Yep. And the other one is a man from the south.
Yeah.
Martin Flores.
He would have been him.
Oh, would it?
Yes.
Oh, right, I didn't realize that. 66-1, because when we talked about this off air, and we kind of agreed with Wee Kim, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you didn't give me the other one that you fancied.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. You've put him up. That's fine then. Yeah, I mean, you'll say the semi's from Texas, isn't he? Went to Texas.
Yeah, born in Fort Worth, I think.
Yeah, so he's got all the southern connections. Did he go Oklahoma?
I'm not sure where he went to college.
But I think everything points to the south with him.
Yeah, and everything points to him having a good shot this week as well. He missed the cut on his debut at this course in 2014, but fared much better last year, finishing tied for 12th. Yeah, and he did miss the cut in the Safeway Open on his first PGA Tour start this season. Prior to that, he did finish tied third at the Nationwide Children's Hospital Open in an event he should have won. Didn't close that out, but I remember him playing really well at the Wells Fargo a couple of years ago, and he led going into the final 36 holes, I think. I think he led by a few, actually.
Yeah.
And capitulated.
And that's one of the Carolinas, isn't it?
It is.
The southern state.
Yeah.
Cluster southern state.
I think it's not North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he graduated from the web.com tour in fifth to reestablish himself on the PGA Tour. And I think with that good finish under his belt last season in this event, in a weak field, he's got a chance. So 66 is fine, I think.
And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago at the Safeway. One of the guys, a colleague of mine on the Roto World, Josh Culp, he's got a website called Future of Fantasy, and that has good lists of how players perform on certain green types. So we're on, I talked about, I never say it again, Poana.
Poana, there you go.
It's not even a difficult thing to say, but I sort of got a mental block on it. So last time at the Safeway, I talked about Poana. This time, obviously, we're on Bermuda greens. And if you look at the list of who performed best on there in relation to other grass surfaces, Flores is high up on Bermuda.
Right, okay.
So that's just another level.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Positive.
Because I hadn't noted that down, right. So I'm happy about that.
Good.
And 66-1, I think, is a fair price as well.
Yes.
I think that's a good price on Martin Flores this week at 66-1. I've pretty much no one else to mention. Just a couple I've noted down at big odds that I just want to briefly mention. Cody Gribble.
Weird, I was going to mention him.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can talk about him. 80-1 he is, Cody Gribble.
Yeah, he's just got his tour card after playing well on the web.com. He was a teammate of Jordan Spieth's at Texas, is that?
Yeah.
In 2012. And lots of letters, A, C, C's in it. Championship.
Yeah.
All these college events confuse me. But yeah, the tied eighth on his debut at the Safeway, that's obviously a great start. And I think he'd come fifth in the previous event on the web.com.
Yeah.
So he's just someone in good form. Obviously got some pedigree there of you playing with Spieth on the team. So he looked okay. Of those kind of new boys, the one that's been hammered a bit is Grayson Murray.
Yes.
33-1. He's kind of got the best form, but he missed the cut at the Safeway. So I think Gribble
better value.
Looks to be better value at this stage. I'm sure Murray's probably touted to go on to bigger and better things, but just for this week, maybe Gribble could be the one to look at. Quite a good name as well, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic.
Left-handed as well.
Fantastic name. Just one more. Austin Cook at 125-1. Good putter. I think he'll go well as well this week. So a couple of big fancy prices there. Of the market leaders, none of them really appeal to me, in all honesty.
No.
Patton Kizzire's got that form coming in and course form. So
he's 16.
Yeah, 16-1.
Poulter's playing this one, and obviously he'd love to be in China, but he's trying to win his PGA Tour card. So he did quite well, didn't he, last time? But quite a long break he's had. Russell Henley, possibly if he won this, he wouldn't fall over and surprise, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Poor.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of those guys towards the top of the betting, you always see this where they're established PGA Tour professionals, but they've got poor form coming in, and that's why they've not qualified for the WGC event to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So you've got to sort of kind of overlook a lot of that poor recent form, I think, and just put it into the context of the quality of the event.
Yeah. I do wonder if Sam Saunders has got something special. Obviously Arnold Palmer's grandson, you know, that would be some sort of amazing story, wouldn't it, whether that's an angle, because he's had some decent tournaments, hasn't he? He's from Florida, from the south as well. So 80-1, don't know, you're just sort of fishing around, aren't you, for little angles, because there's no one really screaming to be backed.
No, I agree. Okay, let's recap. Obviously apart from the two guys that I have actually backed this week.
Mad keen on them.
Let's recap the selections then for this week. First of all, though, the player you don't want to win, who came closest to making the cut? HSBC, it's got to be, I suppose, hasn't it?
Yeah, I would probably say Molinari, but you've backed him.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I'm going with
Horkheimer, one of those.
Brooks Koepka, I think, is the man that I don't want to see win this week at 35-1. Selections then, you kick us off.
Yeah, so in the WGC HSBC, I will go for a point each way on Rafa Cabrera Bello at 50-1, and also in the outright market, I'm about to say Martin Peters then. I've also got Martin Keimer on there, he'll sort of drift in unnoticed. 50-1 on Thomas Peters in the outright market, and also a point each way 50-1 Thomas Peters in the first round leader market.
Very good.
So that's one of these ones where you sort of wake up and think, oh, look.
Oh, it's unbelievable. If he's the top of the leaderboard, then he's trading at single figures in the outright market. And then you've already cashed in the first round leader
depends
market.
Depends when you do it. Sometimes you're a bit sleepy and you see his name on the top. Look at that, I've won. And then you sort of look and some players have only played 13 and you're a bit sleepy and you're like, oh, I'm confused. Hopefully, that will be something nice to wake up to.
That would be fantastic. I'm going to point each way Francesco Molinari at 50-1 and a point each way Russell Knox at 40-1 in the HSBC Champions event. And in the Sanderson Farms, slightly lesser stakes on these two. Half a point each way Wee Kim at 40-1. Half a point each way Martin Flores at 66-1 as my two selections. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at M. Grenham. And make sure you check out the podcast via iTunes. Do subscribe and get it downloaded weekly. And you can also catch up on all William Hill's podcasts via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And myself and Dave will be back next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Hey!
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.